like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Mark Anthony. Mark's website is afterlifefrequency.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Mark, there are many, many religions. What do they feel about reincarnation? Some do, some don't they?
Absolutely, George. Normally, when we think about reincarnation, that draws us to India, which is the home to Hinduism, Jainism, Sikhism, and Buddhism. They all originated there. And all of those belief systems embrace reincarnation as a basic tenet of those faiths. But the Dalai Lama has said that reincarnation isn't just a Hindu or Buddhist concept, but rather part of the history of human origin. And according to Pew Research, there's two organizations, three, and the Institute for Social Research, 51% of the world's people now believe in reincarnation, including 33% of Americans.
That's huge.
That is huge. And this includes countries where the religions that are dominant there reject reincarnation. But the thing is, when you start studying theology, I've noticed, along with several other scholars, that reincarnation is at the root of all the religions. In Judaism, there are references such as in Jacob's ladder. Now, Jacob's ladder, which is in Genesis 28, is one of the most mysterious and mystical and studied passages in Scripture. Very briefly, Jacob was a prophet, and he laid down and he had a dream where he saw the original stairway to heaven. Basically, he saw this ladder with angels ascending and descending between heaven and earth in an unending procession. And the interpretations of Jacob's ladder have been ongoing since ancient times. And one of the interpretations by Kabbalist scribes, progressive Christians, and certainly Hindus and Buddhists, is that the ascending and descending angels are representative of the cycle of spirits descending from the spirit realm, which is heaven, to earth, and then back again. So it is believed that this could be a reference to reincarnation. Now, I know there's people who disagree with that. I'm just telling you what's one of the many metaphors of Jacob's ladder is. Another one is that there's the timelessness of time, that there's an interconnectedness between heaven and earth, and of course, of reincarnation. So that's a very, very fascinating passage. But George, there's also, it is believed, references to reincarnation in Christianity.
In the Bible?
That is correct. And in the early centuries of Christianity, there were several different schools of thought. And one of them was by Origen of Alexandria. And Origen of Alexandria lived in what is now Egypt, or what, you know, it was still Egypt then. And Origen rejected the notion of eternal damnation. And what he taught was that all souls lived through multiple ages in a succession of lifetimes, and all spirits, including Satan, would eventually work their way up to a higher level and be reunited with God. And so this was one of the early schools of thought in Christianity. Origen lived in the early 3rd century, and by the next century, the Emperor Constantine called the Council of Nicaea. And in the Council of Nicaea, the Bible was codified. In other words, Constantine was presiding over the Roman Empire, and the old religion of the gods on Mount Olympus had pretty much faded away. Most of the people in the empire were Christian, and he wanted there to be one religion and an authoritative text for that. So he ordered that into existence in AD 325, but then roughly 2 centuries later, and I don't want to go through the whole history of the Roman Empire because that would take, like, a very long time.
We'd be in a few centuries if we
did. Yeah, a few centuries. The empire had split into 2 sections. The western half, which was ruled from Rome, the eastern half ruled from Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul and Turkey. The western half collapses, and the eastern half, which we now refer to as the Byzantine Empire, the emperor there, Justinian the Great, called forth the Fifth Ecumenical Council. And at the Fifth Ecumenical Council, reincarnation was officially banned. It was declared as heresy and put off to the side. However, it is believed that a number of passages still survive the editing process. One of which is Jacob's Ladder in the Old Testament. The other one is the Transfiguration. Now, George, the Transfiguration is also one of the most mystical and fascinating passages in Scripture.
Explain that.
It's in Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9. What happens there is Jesus takes a select group of apostles to the top of a mountain, and he begins to glow white. And a mist forms next to him, and the spirits of Moses and Elijah appear on either side of him. Fascinating, because Moses was the bringer of the law, according to Jewish tradition. Elijah was the enforcer of the law, and in the Christian tradition, Jesus was the embodiment of the law. Well, then they pixelate and fade away, and they go to the bottom of the mountain, and, you know, understandably, the disciples are rather overwhelmed, and there's a discussion of, well, who do you say that I am? And the disciples say, well, some say that you're the prophet Elijah, some say that you're John the Baptist. In Luke 9, the disciples ask, why do the teachers of the law say Elijah must come first? Now, we have to remember here, George, that Jesus lived 800 years after the prophet Elijah, and Moses was probably about another 1,000 to 1,200 years before that.
Did they pave the way for Jesus?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And then Jesus replies, he's basically said in Matthew 11, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, is going to suffer at their hands. Then it says in Matthew 13, then the disciples understood he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Let me explain here. Progressive Christian scholars, mystical Kabbalist Hebrew scholars, along with Hindus and Buddhist scholars, have examined this passage very closely. basically, what Jesus is saying is Elijah has already come, but he appeared as John the Baptist. And it is believed that this is a reference that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of the prophet Elijah, who lived 800 years before. Once again, I realize this is going to be very controversial for a lot of people, and I'm not telling you that this is what it says, but this is what several scholars who've been studying this for centuries believe that it indicates.
Do you agree with them?
I do. I do. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, John the Baptist was Elijah reincarnated, but it does appear that reincarnation is referenced there with Jacob's ladder, and there's a couple other references throughout the Bible.
Is it accepted?
The transfiguration is considered one of the most, like I said, mystical and unusual passages. That's probably why it didn't get cut out, because also mediums look at, well, this is a form of physical mediumship because the mist and the formation, the materialization, if you will, of Elijah and Moses are in conformity with what is considered to be a legitimate display of physical mediumship. Physical mediumship means that the medium is able to project ectoplasm, which will take a physical form. Now, I've seen several so-called physical mediums, and I'm not persuaded by them because they do everything in total darkness, and it's really quite silly. But here, if you're actually seeing it as the disciples, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, then this would appear that, you know, of course, Jesus being Jesus was so elevated and very possibly divine, was able to bring forth these spirits quite easily.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Do you believe, Mark, that all of us have reincarnated at some point in our existence?
I do.
I do. And I've done readings, George, for over 15,000 people. And very often the question of reincarnation comes up. And I don't do reincarnation readings. So for the callers that want to call in and, you know, was I Joan of Arc, that's why I'm afraid of matches or something like that, that's not necessarily what I do. I mean, if something like that does come through from a spirit, I'll relay it. But the thing is, I think to some extent we all may remember reincarnation, prior lives, but some can be very, very subtle. For example, some people have very clear memories of prior lives. Others may be drawn to certain people and places. Some have a sense of deja vu, phobias with no apparent cause.
Well, like afraid of swimming and maybe they drowned in another life or something.
Precisely. And talents that people seem to naturally possess. I mean, Mozart was composing songs by the time he was 4 years old. I mean, that's uncanny.
It is,
now,
truly.
To give mainstream science their due, when it comes to natural talents, mainstream science answers this, that at some point in our embryonic development, the molecule in an unidentified enzyme influenced and directed the brain chemistry, thus leading to a particular talent or skill. Okay, so there's a scientific explanation, but I mean, there's cases where, and this is going to be part of what I'm going to be speaking at Edgar Cayce Reincarnation Summit, when you have four-year-olds start talking about their prior lives and they start giving their address, where they lived, who they were married to, how they died, and there's no way that that child could possibly have known this.
Well, remember the case of the little boy, James Leninger, who was a pilot from World War II?
Absolutely. He started talking about being shot down at Chichijima. He said his plane was a Corsair, his ship was the Natoma, and that he had three G.I. Joe dolls named Leon, Walter, and Billy, because those are who met me when I got to heaven. And his parents were like, what? And so his father started doing some research and found out that there was indeed a USS Natoma Bay, which is an aircraft carrier, and toward the end of World War II in the Pacific, it did launch Corsairs. Further investigation indicated that Lieutenant James Houston, who was 21 years old, was a pilot aboard the Natoma Bay, who was shot down in the Battle of Chichijima, which little James Leninger kept saying, and that three of the pilots who served with him were named Leon, Walter, and Billy, all of whom died before James Houston did. And he said, well, those are the three people that met him in heaven.
Wow.
It gets even better, too, because they arranged, his parents and the people studying him, arranged for James Leninger to go to a reunion.
And he knew them.
He knew them, and he went up to the guy that he said was his best friend, Jack Larson, and he started revealing intricate details about the crewmates and some of the girls they, quote-unquote, dated. And this Jack Larson guy said, man, this guy has got to be James Houston. Nobody could know this. And it gets even better because they introduced him to Anne Houston Barron, who at the time was the 84-year-old sister of James Houston. And he began to tell her things about family members, including extramarital affairs. Now, this is a little kid, okay?
Jeez.
This is probably like 7 or 8 years old at the time. And
he's talking like an adult.
An adult. And she said this child couldn't know the things he knows. He just couldn't. He's got to be some part of my brother. So this is one of thousands of cases which have been studied heavily. I mean, the thing is, George, reincarnation has been documented for thousands of years, but since the 1970s, when Dr. Ian Stevenson, at the Division of Perceptual Studies at University of Virginia, applied the scientific method to analyzing cases of reincarnation. We call them CORT, case of reincarnation type. And Dr. Stevenson focused on children, toddlers that started recalling prior lives. He studied over 2,500 of these cases. He avoided religious discussion. He stuck strictly to science. After he passed, Dr. James Tucker took up his role. And the case studies that I have examined are just fascinating. There's so many. I mean, we could spend an entire week just talking about the case studies in reincarnation, because now they're being documented in a way that they never have before.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.